Lots to talk about today, including the new Bud Light numbers and finally something that isn't coffee to announce. And I think that that's good. I want to shout out everyone's hard work spreading the word about Bud Light and Tranheuser-Busch. You've done it again. You've set another record in drops for sales. Make sure you leave a like on it right now for that. And a new ad, a new desperate ad, gets completely lampooned. The company really is, there's no coming back from this. There's really no coming back from this. Budweiser brings in Ken Griffey Jr. as brand looks to dig out of Bud Light hole. Tranheuser-Busch and Budweiser are bringing in the big guns as they try to dig out of their current Bud Light hole. Ahead of Father's Day, the beer chain released its newest commercial on YouTube Monday afternoon, featuring a pair of sluggers who go by Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. Ever heard of them? The 30-second ad features both father and son as they sit on the couch with some Bud, the beer, and highlights both careers, you know, players throughout. Its first video has posted to its official YouTube page since April's disastrous Shared Spirit commercial came in the week of Bud Light's Dylan Mulvaney disaster. Bud Light immediately feeling the impact. Right on cue, the comments are absolutely brutal. Props to Budweiser for leaving them up, though. Credit where credit is due. Let's take a look. My father identifies as my mother, so he gets a Father's Day and Mother's Day. Happy Father's Day, Ken Griffey Sr. and Jr. Oh, a regular one. Still going woke. Not even the iconic Griffey's can save this woke product. You're really trying to smooth things over, aren't you? It's not a boycott. It's an official divorce. Never drinking this product or anything owned by this company again. If you look at the actual comments, obviously, it is a deluge of negativity. Because of the woke Dylan Mulvaney commercial, I'll never buy a Budweiser beer ever again. Boycott all of Budweiser products. When does the dad tell his son it's okay to chop his dong off and parade as a fake lady? You know, it's impossible now to hear Budweiser not have flashbacks of a dude in a dress pretending to be a little girl, cold shivers. Hey, this isn't Pride Month. Where's your LGBTQ plus ad, Budweiser? Dylan Mulvaney was a gift. America woke up and said no more. I mean, everything in this, there's not a single positive comment. So, I mean, I would say only 51 likes out of 8,400 views. Everything in here absolutely just came to dislike. Keep the boycott going. Destroy this brand. Garbage. He won't save you. All this kind of stuff. Just absolutely crushing Bud Light. They literally cannot even do advertisements now without getting completely crushed. And this morning, new sales numbers released, and you all did an amazing job. If you haven't left a like yet, leave a like now, because you're about to feel pretty proud. Bud Light's steep sales drops are showing signs of bottoming out, but the struggling beer brand is still on track to lose its number one status in the United States following its disastrous marketing tie-up with Dylan. Sales of the Bud Light plunged 23.9% for the week ending May 27th. Slightly better than the 25.7% drop a week earlier, and marking the very first time that the decline didn't grow worse versus the previous week, according to data from Bump Williams. Now, that's possible. It also could appear better because they were giving away the beer for free, maybe. And idiots like me were like, oh, go get your free beer. What could go wrong? And that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to be able to show people that, oh, we finally bottomed out. Drops for other Anheuser-Busch brands, including Budweiser, Michelob Ultra, Busch Light, Natural Light, also saw narrower drops than a week earlier amid wider backlash against Bud Light and its parent company. Quote, perhaps the bottom has been hit, and we are seeing a turnaround in performance, Bump Williams said, head of the consulting brand, told the Post. Anheuser-Busch's $15 rebate on 18 packs of lager amounts of Bud Light surely boosted sales over Memorial Day weekend, experts said. The brewer discounted the brand from May 7th to May 31st, and shoppers are scooping up $20 cases of Bud Light for $5 or even less. Price probably had a lot to do with improved trends. I expect to see a lot more price discounting in Anheuser-Busch's portfolio this summer to try and persuade customers to come back. Sales volume, or number of cases sold containing 12 or more cans, was down 27.8%, compared with 29.5%, marking the very first time that declines didn't grow steeper in 7 weeks that the data has been tracked. However, the question is, I mean, how long can they give the beer away for free? And how many people were like me, were like, yeah, it's a free case of beer, whatever. And then when it goes back to regular price, they're going to remember again why they aren't buying the product. It seems like that's probably a non-zero number. Nevertheless, the 20% plus declines are endangering Bud Light's it's perched as the number one beer in the United States, as Modelo has been outselling them for weeks now. During the week ending May 27th, Modelo Especial sales grew by 9.5% compared to a year ago when it was up only 4.7%, so call it double. The beer brand's market share is 8.2% compared with Bud Light's 7.2% for the last week. Data shows Bud Light remains number one beer at 9.1% market share compared with Modelo's 8.0%, according to Bump Williams. Bud Light had better reverse the decline soon if it hopes to retain its shelf spaces at retailers, a former Anheuser-Busch executive warned. Anson Friedrichs, who headed Anheuser-Busch's sales and distribution department, said retailers usually, quote, reset shelf space allocations in spring and fall. Retailers generally take sales data in April, May, June, July, and then based off that data and time period, they will reallocate shelf space, meaning less space on the shelves for products that don't sell as good. And if Bud Light loses that space, you know, the more you take up, the more likely you are to sell in a lot of cases. You know, shout out to my fellow retail workers on those planograms. But, you know, it's not always the case. You know, certainly you can have a lot of shelf space, but if people are actively boycotting you, it's not necessarily going to have a huge effect. But for people that don't know about it or are just kind of popping in, that's, you know, it matters. That shelf space will be allocated to Miller Lite, Coors Light, Yuengling, and some of the other brands that have taken share from them. Mulvaney posted two videos on images. We already know how that went. Now, this article in Fortune writes, Bud Light only has a few months to prevent sustained market share loss, warns former sales executive. I mean, it's just, Bud Light's sales keep slipping, but it remains the number one selling beer in the country. I mean, that's a cope. You see this one. Shares of Bud Light parent company Anheuser-Busch are down more than 17% since the company reported earnings on May 4th. The company, though, saw a slight improvement, we already know. But however, quote, another week of very weak trends for Bud Light indicates that tracked channels may be reaching a point of stabilization, albeit at significantly lower levels for Anheuser-Busch InBev than before the controversy, meaning people actually stuck to their guns on this. They followed through. They made the change. They felt good about it, and they stayed with it. This is one of the things that, you know, very few, this is why the left is so good at boycotting stuff, is because they actually follow through usually, or they relentlessly tweet about it. But now people that are not on the left, people that are just everyday people that are sick of this woke crap, they made the change. And they stuck with it. So they probably thought a lot of people would come back, you know, all this kind of stuff. But they didn't. They changed and they left. And the market itself doesn't look very good at all. People are not coming back. And, you know, this is in addition to, we saw, you know, a Target, for example. Target is not, you know, returning. Their stock continues to fall down. People are just shopping somewhere else. They're going to Walmart. They're going to Meijer. They're going to, you know, wherever it is that they want. Bud Light can't even tweet. They can't even put out a wholesome Father's Day ad between two beloved baseball players without getting absolutely crushed into oblivion. The fortitude of everyone who's doing this, you know, even CNN is admitting, like, ugh, you know, we lost this one. And sure, Bud Light losing the number one spot to itself, essentially, with, you know, the Modelo also owned by InBev, is still hilarious. It's I'm so proud that people have actually stuck to their principles on this and really just not let them off the hook at all. And I suspect that I've always said, you know, based on nothing, that I think that 30% was probably going to be the best that we could do. And I still think we could get there. There is, I think, an over or underestimate of just how effective Americans, how effective marketing, quote, free beer to Americans is. I don't think that that's sustainable. And after the free beer stuff, will people come back and pay full price? Seems unlikely. We'll have to see. Matt Walsh had a banner weekend. His documentary receiving nearly 200 million views on Twitter alone. Now, those are Twitter views, so I don't know if they've actually officially shared the view count number, but I think it's safe to say it's probably at least half of that. Maybe even if it's 25% of that, you're talking about 50 million people tuning in and seeing What is a Woman. You know, whether you think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread or not, I do think that it raises important conversational points. It does a good job at framing some of the absurdity around parts of this movement and is overall a net positive that it exists. There's certainly innumerable informational pieces, opinion pieces masquerading as medical fact on the other side of the conversation, and there really isn't any mainstream rebuttal to it. And so that's why What is a Woman, I think, is so popular, and why it really helped take Daily Wire was obviously already pretty popular, but kind of took them to the next stratosphere. Along with success comes a lot of insanity. And what I thought would be a pretty good example of this is the different sets of rules that certain people get to live their lives by. In this particular case, a PhD student at Brown University has repeatedly threatened the life of Matt Walsh, and nobody seems to care about it. I think we can look back at the last several events that happened and some of people's orientations. Certainly, by the way, leave a like on this video if you'd like to know where the Tranifesto is. They're just trying to wait us out until people stop asking about it. And this is just another example of the privilege that a certain group of people get to live by. Now, this from Chris Burnett on his Substack, carlstack.com. The PhD student at Brown University keeps threatening to end Matt Walsh. I've written 100+ articles, he wrote. And by the way, if you're a fan of Substack, then I recommend following Carl. I have 100+ articles, not a single one is about trans people. How many genders are our LGBTQ curriculum in schools? This is not my wheelhouse. My wheelhouse is bringing up corruption in academia. The academic corruption beat has led me to exposing many scandals and nefarious plots of woke professors. The term woke is obviously reductive, but yeah, in the name of expediency, I will use it because I think it's apt. In my experience, woke academics often display higher tendencies towards corruption, malfeasance, incompetence, or stupidity when comparing their non-woke counterparts. My theory is that it's because being woke entails being an activist. This activist nature frequently leads them to employ immoral, covert, and underhanded tactics, rationalizing these actions as necessary for the, quote, greater good. They really don't care about genuine scientific inquiry. They care about their political agendas, which often manifest as data fabrication, lying, cheating, or bullying. I cover scandals in academic math. So yeah, all this woke mathematicians are putting their enemies on surveillance lists. Chad Topaz, booted from Williams College math department. All this kind of stuff. Because of these math articles, a substantial portion of Carl Stack's readership comprises of mathematics professors. They, along with others interested in the future of mathematics and academia, should be aware that Sarah Celeste Griffith, a PhD candidate in mathematics at Brown University, who is expected to enter the job market in the next 0 to 2 years. You see a Twitter and pictures here. To be clear, the purpose of writing this article is to warn my many hundreds of tenured math professor subscribers not to hire him when the academic job market sometime in the next 0 to 2 years. I'm not qualified to judge Sarah's research. Obviously, I do possess the experience to anticipate academic scandals and academic lawsuit risk. And so we'll go through. So what exactly makes this person such a risk? Here's some of the threats. Again, a lot of people just feel completely comfortable doing this out in the open. I think that's really weird. So to celebrate the arrival of Pride Month, Elon Musk promoted a movie, What is a Woman, on Twitter. If you click on the tweet below, you can watch the movie for free on Twitter. I don't know if that's still free now. The movie has 154 million views in just 3 days. Brings me to Matt Walsh, the creator of the most viewed documentary in history. He gets tons of threats every day, obviously from trans activists, too many to track. But surely nobody employed at a prestigious institution such as Brown University would post these threats under their real name, under their professional account, would they? Enter Sarah Celeste Griffith, who has made at least 10 threats to Matt Walsh on Twitter alone. You see, Matt Walsh is literally the P word. It's a wonder somebody doesn't do something about him. Obviously, that's an ominous threat. Two, these are all archived too, so really good job, Carl Stack, on that. Of course, I'm not suggesting that anyone, that they get rid of this guy. How would you even know where to start? It's not like his home address is something you could easily find by looking. I mean, this is just unhinged, right? Fun fact, it's not too hard to find out where Matt Walsh's home is. Why should Matt Walsh have a right to personal sanctity? In a more just world, he'd be complaining about the threats sincerely. You see, this lib to TikTok would be lucky if she gets away with her life from the consequence of her actions. Goes double for Matt Walsh. This stuff makes me want to buy a pew-pew. I like seeing posts about whether this type of training will actually help defend LGBT people against what is happening. They go on, my point is that if a conservative PhD student at Brown University tweeted any of these things, if he were consistently tweeting about how much he wanted to end Rachel Maddow, not only would he fail the academic job market, he would face immediate expulsion without so much as a courtesy master's degree. So then why does Brown University not hold all the students to the same standards? Should Sarah Celeste Griffith be allowed to own weapons? Do they own them? Does Rhode Island have red flag laws? I provided both Brown University and Sarah Celeste Griffith, a draft of this article with more than 24 hours notice, offering them a chance to read the entire thing and point out any factual inaccuracies or provide statements to say, sorry, I did not receive a response. Now, Sarah Celeste Griffith also tweeted out the unpublished article a few minutes ago, so I went ahead and clicked publish without waiting to hear back from university officials. I mean, it's actually insane. Oh, I'm already blocked by this person. I'm shocked, I say, shocked. This type of behavior, I think, is really bizarre. That people just are allowed to do this kind of stuff in a world where, you know, if a conservative had done the same thing, they'd have their entire life ruined. I don't think that that's out of pocket to say. And these are all threats that were archived, factual, you know, not out of context. And for some reason, archive.is isn't working for me right now. But I mean, the archives are there. Something with the SSL. This happens every once in a while for archive. But, you know, certainly there would be some consequences if they were Republican or conservative, don't you think? Their entire life would be ruined. Meanwhile, What is a Woman blows past 170 million views on Twitter. 1 year after its initial release, the Daily Wire's What is a Woman documentary soared to new heights, prompted by Twitter premiere that featured a dramatic triumph over social media censorship, not to mention the termination of several Twitter employees. The tweet of the 90-minute film, which features Daily Wire host Matt Walsh asking tough questions underlying the gender ideology movement, has amassed more than 170 million views since being posted by the Daily Wire, making it one of the most successful documentaries of all time. For comparison, an estimated 19.3 million viewers watched the final episode of HBO's Game of Thrones, which appeared in 2019. President Joe Biden's recent State of the Union drew 27.3 million. Such milestones initially seemed impossible. Yeah, I mean, that's really what Twitter has opened up. Now, again, they are using the tweet view count As far as I know, there's a second number buried that the Twitter user can actually see that shows how many people watched it, how long they watched it. But again, I think 20-25% is a very fair estimate, you know, based of how many times a tweet was viewed. So you're still talking about 30, 40, 50 million views, which is like, you know, pretty massive. Certainly, you know, there's a lot to talk about here. There's a lot going on, but it's like, even if I don't always agree with Matt, I think, you know, I think that it's important to point out the hypocrisy and how people can just so blatantly issue these, you know, make these kind of veiled and unveiled threats against somebody. But, you know, it's not an issue when they identify a certain way. It's just that true, right? And, you know, this person has 8,000 followers on Twitter and has a protected Twitter account and a website that does work, apparently, mask in the profile, and, you know, does a little blogging and things of that nature, none of which, none of this is, you know, a problem, and you're allowed to have opinions. But what I think is interesting is when one group of people can make direct threats on people, and it's just, that's just another, you know, individual person, just another trans person saying something crazy. So we'll just let it slide. And then you end up having these people walk into a religious school and do things, right? I wonder if there were any warning signs about what happened in Nashville. You know, I wonder if there's anything in the Tranifesto that might let us know something. This is a result of living life with zero consequences, and it's not right. It's not safe, and I hope that that changes. Wish the best and most safety to Matt Walsh. We've got another juicy sommelier. Remember that French actor, Juicy Sommelier, who famously took on Mega Country. You might not know this, but Mega Country was actually a state of mind that existed in downtown Chicago about 3 a.m. outside of a Subway sandwiches. Turns out you have to pay two Nigerian brothers to also bring the illusion full circle to truly experience Mega Country. And one of Juicy's biggest supporters at the time was a Z-list actor who goes by the name Ellen, who went by the name Ellen Page at the time. Since then, Ellen Page has elected to have a double mastectomy to appear as a man and has changed their name to Elliot Page and has basically done zero acting or anything since this. Many people believe that it was just a publicity stunt. Maybe, I don't know. I think when people go and they have surgeries and things of that nature, it's a little deeper, you know, it's a little more, I think there's a little more to the discussion of whether or not someone's doing it for clout. But this person is also apparently out there trying to sell a book. Now, I'm sure these things have nothing to do with each other. But Elliot Page, formerly Ellen Page, most people would only ever remember this actor from Juno, if you saw that movie a million years ago, has now claimed that outside of a Los Angeles hotel, somebody said, and I quote, "I am going to effing gay bash you, you bundle of sticks." In Los Angeles. Now, certainly, addiction is a thing, and crazy people say crazy things. But in general, I don't think that actual homophobes refer to their crime as gay bashing. They would use the bundle of stick words, certainly. And essentially, everybody on the internet is having a hilarious laugh. It was a modern-day lynching. You know, which is a famous Juicy Sommelier line, you know, believe all women, wait, you see the Chappelle Juicy Sommelier there, Did they also yell, "Is this mega or this is mega country"? This claim just so happens to coincide with a book release, so we can be extra sure it's not made up at all for publicity reasons. Then the attacker yelled, "This is mega country. This is cis country." Donut operator chiming in with, "This 100% didn't happen, and especially in LA." You've got a lot of people with the Jesus watching here with the "Why you always lying?" And what's unfortunate is, I don't think that it's reasonable to think that these things never happen. They certainly do, and they're bad. You shouldn't hate somebody for who they are, or their characteristics. You should hate them for the things that they do, if you hate at all. And what this is just another juicy sommelier who is going to try to corner the market. There's not enough supply of these hate crimes, so they are just faking them, in my opinion, trying to use it for clout. We know famously that Juicy Sommelier was convicted of perpetrating this lie because he thought he wasn't making enough money on the television show he was on. He even, I believe, at least I believe, was faked some sort of threatening letter when he tried to get a raise too, and had some sort of quote-unquote white powder in it. At the time, Ellen Page, before it was Elliot Page, came out in staunch support of Juicy Sommelier, writing, "Ellen Page tearfully talks about Juicy Sommelier and the current state of the world." So I wonder if maybe this idea was coinciding. Now, to finish my thought, I don't support people hating on somebody for who they are, or, you know, the things that, you know, they have no control over. In most cases, I guess, unless you like the little ones, then fine. But the problem is there are real instances of this that happen. They are exceedingly rare. But when Hollywood weirdos co-opt them to get famous, all it does is hurt actual people who don't have publicists who have to face this kind of thing. Nobody will believe them. Actor Elliot Page has shared that he was verbally attacked, threatened by a crazed transphobic man who shouted that he was the reason "I need a pew-pew in Los Angeles" last year. Page, 36, who's desperate for attention now, was standing on a corner in West Hollywood, nonetheless. West Hollywood, huh? Famously anti-gay West Hollywood. On his way to Pink Dot convenience store, just like Subway sandwiches, when the enraged and hateful stranger approached him, shouting obscenities, according to the LA Times. Then they said the famous, "And this is mega country. I'm going to gay bash you," the man yelled, forcing the actor to bolt towards the store in fear. I'm 100% confident in saying that, in my opinion, this never happened. Simply never happened. Employees at the Pink Dot escorted a terrified Page into the shop, but the man allegedly followed him and stood in the store's doorway. "This is why I need a weapon," the maniac reportedly yelled at Page through the glass door. Page, whose dead name is Ellen Page, come on, New York Post, revealed he was transgender in 2020. Now he says he no longer feels safe in Los Angeles. Where are you gonna go? "Now when I'm in LA, I don't feel comfortable like I used to going." Elliot Page, or formerly Ellen Page, is trying to tell the world that West Hollywood is not safe for gay people. Now, again, I'm sure that this has nothing to do with the book for sale. The ordeal may have shaken the actor, but he acknowledged that he has privilege to stay in a safer hotel and hire security if needed, unlike most people living in LA. "Doesn't mean it's not traumatic, but I have resources that in every instance that is difficult, protect and can shield me from these things. A crazy lunatic homeless person that everyone has to deal with? I mean, is it possible that some addict, have you seen the streets of LA? It's possible some weird addict. I would be willing to bet that no one would even recognize this person as a Hollywood actor. That's the most insane part of this lie. That I'm supposed to believe that somebody happened to walk past this individual on the screen and think, oh yeah, that's that Hollywood actor who had a double mastectomy to make the headlines. Juno stars recounting of the alleged verbal attack and threats comes in the wake of another story they recently shared in the upcoming memoir, Page Boy, about when a famous a-hole told him being gay doesn't exist. Page, who also came out as gay in February of 2014, claimed that an A-list actor told him that he was going to F you to make you realize that you aren't gay at a birthday party in LA shortly after coming out. He purposely did not name the accused high-profile celebrity, but said they would hear about this and know it's him. It's always funny how these people never name anybody, right? It's really hard to feel bad when the person on the receiving end of the alleged behavior is happy to accept the free press and clout for it, but refuses to name the person who did it. The actor added that another celebrity, whom describes only as an acquaintance, insisted, "You aren't gay. That doesn't exist. You're just afraid of men." Days later, the acquaintance ran into Paige at the gym, expressing he didn't have a problem with gay people. "I think you might," Paige claimed to have replied. The memoir also, yeah, that's like George Costanza famously recounting, "Yeah, the jerk store called and they're running out of you." That's how it went in Elliot Page's mind, getting over on that meanie. This was right after I'd come out, and it was a time of exploration. Page Boy happened to be released today with a brief tour promoting the memoir. Memoir? Who writes a memoir in their 30s? This isn't 1905. I mean, you see the comments. This is a tragic story of someone who isn't well and certainly not happy with themselves. They're still trying to prove something and attracting the wrong kind of attention. This never happened, right? I mean, I just don't think that somebody who had... First of all, I don't believe anyone would ever recognize this person on the street. Second of all, if you actually did have a problem with gay people, you would never say, "I'm going to gay bash you." You see Blair White writing, "The chances of this happening in LA are low AF, especially in any area someone this rich would actually stay in. A person who gay bashes is not going to give you a warning they're about to do it. And three, this type of obvious lie keeps the community in a perpetual state of fear. Disgusting." Well, that's because that's the currency that they have. They create this "we're under attack" thing. There's a genocide of us happening so that they can act like lunatics and kick their feet and stomp their legs and make sure they get money from all the corporations. The fact of the matter is nobody cares about these people. I'm certainly far more trans people just trying to get on with their life than these few weirdos who are like, "Oh yeah, this is mega country." Also, Heidi writes, "How can you be gay bash if you're a straight dude now?" This is a classic, yeah, they want to be oppressed so bad. I mean, that's exactly what this is. That's why, in case you're wondering, Juicy Smollett, or Jussie Smollett, is trending on Twitter today. It's rare to see so many unforced errors in the platform space, in the social media platform space. In particular, in the streaming platform space, where Twitch has enjoyed near 100% dominance in the space for the entirety of the world of live streaming. YouTube, you know, is a place where people stream who are already YouTube content creators, but it's rarely seen as a spot to watch streaming. It still isn't, because YouTube continues to make zero AI changes, or interface changes, sorry, to make streams actually discoverable, to have a fun live streaming experience that's moving at a snail's pace. So in the meantime, new alternatives have popped up in both Kick and Rumble. Rumble pivoting towards supporting live streams far more aggressively than even their standalone video. And Kick is a platform that is has an infinite money glitch, essentially, as it's owned by some offshore, gambling crypto slot machine website. So they have unlimited money to bring advertisers in. Now, Twitch made a massive unforced error today angering many of their top streamers, including Asmongold, who is now threatening to leave the platform and boycott over this insane change. Now, Twitch has made new branded content guidelines. May not sound like a lot, but it's a direct kind of initiative against streamers' abilities to earn money. Now, ad revenue is how most YouTubers support themselves. Ad revenue, super chats if you stream. Twitch has subscriptions, and most of the large content creators on Twitch are fine with Twitch subscriptions. They don't actually want ads interrupting their experience for their viewers. But ads are how Twitch makes money, so they're always at odds. But in the new Twitch Terms of Service, on-stream logos are limited to 3% of the screen size. Burned-in video ads are not allowed. Burned-in display ads are not allowed. Burned-in audio ads are not allowed. Now, this is actually insane. You know, what is allowed is channel page panel ads, products in the background of your stream, links in chat, discussing unboxing products, and playing sponsored games. But you cannot do all sorts of content, paid content on there, including political stuff, cannabis-related products, booze. You see Zach saying, you can advertise alcohol, but not politics. Political content, including paid promotions of politicians, political parties, or issues of public debate. You can't make money on that? It's actually insane. And of course, this is just another ridiculous unforced error by Twitch. Streamers will be required to display a new disclosure when their stream contains branded content. Now there's a checkbox. Let viewers know your stream features branded content. This includes paid content, placement, endorsement, or commercial relationships. If they don't do this and have branded content, they could be suspended. Now, this is a fine thing. This is an FTC thing. This is the same rules that we've been living on. A lot of times Twitch streamers have melties when they have to deal with the same basic stuff that YouTube creators do, like when they had to, oh my God, I can't steal people's music and monetize it. This is an outrage. DMCA systems, this is an outrage. So I always have a bit of a laugh at their expense in that way. But now Asmongold is, people are saying ungrateful streamers, malding. I mean, I don't know. It's a mix. I don't think that streamers are being ungrateful. I think that, you know, Twitch has forced them to create these alternative channels for revenue, just like YouTube does to YouTube content creators, where they're like, well, we're not paying AdSense anymore, so you're going to have to do ad reads. Oh, but not that ad. Oh, but not that ad. Put shill memberships to your viewers that we're going to take 30% of, but you also can't promote this type of content to those viewers that we're making money off of. On June 6th, Twitch revealed its new guidelines for branded streams, including in these changes are restrictions of what kind of burned-in advertisements are allowed, meaning these ads cannot be a direct part of the actual stream. These are ad reads. Twitch also rolled out restrictions for what kind of branded content is allowed on the platform. The site does not allow for promotion of any kind of illegal substances, scams, or hateful products or services, but more shockingly, Twitch is also banning branded streams for political content, spicy products, services, tobacco, certain financial products and services, and even medical facilities and products. Asmongold is one of the streamers that has pushed back against us. The popular MMO broadcaster recently stepped back from streaming on his main channel due to anxiety, is urging other creators to stream on Twitch to boycott the site as a result of these restrictions. Now, some might point out it's very easy for Asmongold, who is a multi-millionaire, to do that, but his company, OTK, seems to at least be putting their money where their mouth is, which we'll get into here. I don't say this lightly, but I think this is a legitimate situation where streamers should consider boycotting Twitch or moving to other platforms. Rumble would be great. Making common and harmless forms of advertisement literally against terms of service so Twitch can monopolize more of streamers' income. And so as Alba says, then do it. Who's going to tell them? Yeah, I mean, I think that this is the problem is that, you know, Twitch is having a money problem. And they are desperate to eat more and more of the streamers' money. Now they force them to run ads, but the big streamers don't want to run ads. And they'll take more of their sub money, but the big streamers can now leave. And they can go to YouTube and get a bigger chunk of their ad revenue. They can go to Rumble. They can go to Kick and get bigger chunks of their ad revenue. And for the most part, people have proved, at least in streaming, willing to embrace alternative platforms as long as they have some of the most basic things. Asmin isn't the only streamer feeling this way. A slew of other popular broadcasters have spoken out against Twitch's latest decisions, one of them being Courage, who notably moved to YouTube Gaming in 2019 as one of the first major creators to jump ship. Joining YouTube Gaming in 2019 was the greatest decision of my career. Reminder, YouTube has gifted members. YouTube has a 70-30 split for creators. YouTube has vastly more discoverability with shorts. Other streamers also offered criticism over Twitch's impact on grassroots esports tournaments, with Jericho writing, putting aside the fact that almost every sponsor I've ever done has necessitated these things, how the F does the ESL or any other grassroots organization ever run a profitable tournament again? Meaning he's saying that they need to be able to put more advertisers on the screen, sell that advertising space, especially for live events, live sporting events. The idea that you would limit this is actually insane. Is it that Twitch wants these advertisers to run through Twitch and not get direct deals with the creators? It's wild. It's clear that streamers aren't happy with Twitch's latest move as the platform continues to come under fire in development. That it follows a trend of many big-time broadcasters making the move from Twitch to other sites like Kick and Rumble. What's wild is that Rumble has become a major player in the streaming world as an option alternative for these streamers to go to, and they're adding new features all the time. DeCerto writes, Asmongold and OTK now threaten to leave Twitch over the brand new guidelines outlined today. I mean, this is a big deal. Now, here's the thing though. These advertising changes really only affect the top 1% of streamers. And that's why I'm wondering if Twitch has any real incentive to change this. A lot of these streaming people incorrectly think that they're irreplaceable. Quite frankly, Twitch still is the primary platform. But what needs to happen is there needs to be critical mass on both Kick and Rumble. You know, Rumble, I think, has a better leg up, more financial opportunities for streamers. But I think Kick is a good thing. The more viable alternatives there are, the more progress there will be, the more opportunity for innovation there is, the more likely that Twitch will be held in check, to be honest with you. And I think that you look at where this is all going, it's just yet another unforced error by Twitch, and it should be hopefully a nice windfall. I mean, I'm just hoping for Rumble in particular to pick up some creators. They've shown a willingness to pay out. They've shown a willingness to back these streamers to give them fair deals, so hopefully some of them will come over. And it's not just these, you know, right-wing conservatives that are on there. There are, you know, I think is it Mizkif or one of those like gaming people, they're doing Rumble streams. IShowSpeed and Kai Cenat are doing Rumble streams. These are not right-wing political commentators doing huge Rumble streams. So, you know, I think that there is a very real future for non-Twitch related streaming, and I'm 100% here for it. Now it remains to be seen if any of these multi-millionaires will actually move, but we'll have to wait and see, I suppose. Oh boy, the era of the smartphone sure has brought a lot to our attention that was previously hearsay, was previously the word of a usually a troublemaking student against a sterling veteran career teacher. And now, caught on a hot mic, a teacher has some interesting words for students who had decided to opt out of their school's pride events due to their religion. They end up getting caught on tape in a multi-minute tirade that we're going to take a look at, because I think it's pretty interesting. It's very interesting how progressives seem to view people who have religious exemptions from pride-related content. And it's just another one of those great moments in progressive history where you hear how they really think, what they really think about you, what they really think about minority groups, what they really think about religious groups. This is an interesting call. It's about a minute 40. Teacher tells Muslim students skipping LGBTQ events is not Canadian. Now you see Jennifer Ann writing, I just called the school. They said they've received hundreds of phone calls regarding this, and they are investigating. Vice principal would not go further than that. Let's take a listen.
Well, I'll tell you, you are out to lunch. If you think it's
So essentially, by the way, what I can make of the run-up is that a bunch of students who are Muslim decided to skip out of Pride Day events because it conflicted with their religions. It's like a senior skip day or something. They just skip this stuff. I don't have any problem with it. And I bet you many of their parents are probably 100% on board with it. Almost certainly.
Acceptable to not show up because you think if there's some pride activities going on at school, right? Oh, that's fine. You know, because I'm going to show my opinion by hanging out at the mall. But meanwhile, all those kids who are, you know, involved in, say, the Gay Straight Alliance or whatever, I don't even know if we have that anymore in our school, they're here when we did Ramadan for Lion Time, and they're showing respect in the class for your religion, right, for your beliefs.
The argument here is that because somebody else felt like tolerating your religious celebration, you must also tolerate theirs. That's not how freedom of speech works. That's not how religious protection works. The idea that, you know, first of all, these two groups of people whatever get along is hilarious. But they're just they're in direct opposition to each other. People of faith, people in the Muslim faith, in particular, have particularly strong opinions about it, right? But this teacher, it's just like kind of the normal, woke, progressive teacher crap.
It goes two ways. If you want to be respected for who you are, if you don't want to suffer prejudice for your religion, your color of skin, your whatever, then you better give it back to people who are different from you.
Again, that's not how it works. Now, the idea that this individual, and it's like a lot of this is happening in Canada, which is pretty odd. Canada is obviously very, very progressive. I don't know what percentage of my viewership happens to be Muslim. I mean, just the cross-section of society, certainly there's some. But this is like the definition of when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. And these teachers don't have... I mean, first of all, they shouldn't be having pride events in the school, period. By the way, this is a junior high. So this is 5th, 6th, and 7th grade, or 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. It kind of changes. Now we have intermediate schools in the states around me, which we never used to have. So I get kind of not totally sure. But when I was young, middle school was 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So you are, what, like 12, 13, 14? Why are you having pride events at all about that? Literally.
That's how it works. It's an exchange. And it isn't like that in all countries. As I told you, in Uganda, literally, if they think you're gay, they will execute you. If you believe that kind of thing, then you don't belong here.
Whoa. Did she just say, get out of my country? Did she just say, get out of, you don't belong in my country if you have a different opinion than I do? This is, again, a teacher talking to 12 and 13-year-old students.
Because that is not what Canada believes. We believe in freedom. We believe that people can marry whomever they want. That is in the law. And if you don't think that should be the law, you can't be Canadian.
Whoa! You can't be Canadian? Now, I wonder what's going to come out about this teacher. You know, I just wonder what we're going to find out. I mean, gosh, you just know this teacher's going to be, if I had to take a guess, they're going to look exactly like you expected. You see a lot of people saying, I have updated the Loudonberry School transcript. The copy is cleaned up. And it's a Loudonberry School, a junior high school. I included the transcript. The video is short. It's nuts. Here's a transcript of everything they said. It makes me angry. This is a junior high teacher who, as of right now, remains unnamed. Although I suspect by the end of today, probably by the time, this video gets out there, there's already all sorts of stuff going on. You see this? Dear parents and guardians and family, many of you heard audio recording of a teacher at Loudonberry School circulating on social media channels. I want to emphasize that the views expressed by the teacher are not reflected values of acceptance, inclusion, and belonging. Why don't you just say diversity, equity, and inclusion? That are so strong at Loudonberry School. We know that words matter and that have the ability to bring us together and also divide us. I want to assure you that we are addressing the situation accordingly. What, putting the teacher on paid vacation? As shared in my last message, we will recognize both Pride Month and National Indigenous History Month in June. Our school community is incredibly rich and diverse, and I'm inspired by it every day. This diversity and sense of belonging at school enriches student learning and experiences. How about just reading, writing, arithmetic? You know, arithmetic. When did that stop? Throughout next week, Pride Week may be mentioned during daily announcements as a way to highlight activities. This is a middle school. Why are they having any Pride events whatsoever? It's so weird. It's just so creepy.
You don't belong here, and I mean it. I really mean it. And it's not a joke, Manzoor.
Manzoor.
I said back and forth. You want it, you gotta give it.
That's not how it works. And by the way, what's hilarious about this is whoever this teacher is, clearly speaking for the community, they're expecting that you just sit there and take it. They're not being accepting of your religious beliefs. They're not being accepting of, how it may fly in the face of your chosen religion. They're saying you have to take my LGBTQ pride stuff and have a smile on your face. And if you don't, then you're not being inclusive, and we won't be either. Well, that's not very inclusive. It's so weird.
It just makes me angry. Sorry.
I'm going to assume that this teacher is probably LGBTQ. How about a lot of these? How about we actually stick to education rather than virtue signaling and identity activities? Imagine if a Christian school teacher told a young Muslim student that they don't belong in Canada like this woke teacher did. The alphabet soup mafia will get away with anything, though, because they have the top spot in the victimhood totem pole for now. My husband and I had a conversation about school absences in respect to Pride activities. We were both quite certain that the children who were being absent would be punished. This is unsurprising but terrible. Telling children that they don't belong in Canada is simply beyond the pale. I mean, this is coming from a country that, you know, encouraged people to tattle on each other if they had, you know, more than a few people at their house during the lockdowns. There is tolerance, and then they're saying, you will endure my messaging, and you will embrace me or else. Keep recording your teachers, kids. Absolutely amazing. Hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, make sure you leave a like on it. Make sure you head on over to Coffee Brand Coffee, pick up your quartering crossover snapback hat or your Father's Day gift box today.